see politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
This is Warbird Radio.
On this episode of Warbird Radio, we're coming to you from the National Warbird Operators Conference in Dallas, Texas. We're joined now by artist and, spirits creator, Dan White. And he's also got his lovely wife, Janice, here, and their daughters in the background. You draw some really, really cool stuff, some fun stuff, and I think that's the name of the game here at cockpitcreations.com. But Dan and Janice, welcome to Warbird Radio.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, sir. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to talk to you and be at an event that has so many unique egos and individuals running
egos.
Around.
Egos. Never. An ego is a terrible thing to waste.
Absolutely.
In this business. And you're learning all about that. How did you get into this, drawing these cool cartoons?
You know, I've always been around aviation, and years and years ago, I tried to keep a blog, basically, for my kids of things that happen in the world when dad's gone from the house. And my entries got so far apart, it was disgusting. So I've always been one that can kind of draw on bathroom walls and such, so yeah. I was able to...
Did he do that at the house, Janice? Is he... Uh-oh. Let's see. Hang on. There we go. Try that.
I'll just clarify one thing. There's a reason for the confusion. He refers to me as mom, but I'm actually not his wife.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Well,
I'm the director of operations, but he calls me.
There's the wife. Yeah. Of minutia. Yes, my mom. So, what I started doing initially.
That would make for an interesting show if we just kept going.
Well, I know. I have a chair to throw across the room in a minute. So, I started doodling things that went on. I fly for an airline for a living, and I started kind of doing what goes on behind the cockpit door. And just started drawing themes and things that happen in the airline world. And one day I had someone ask me, the airline I work for used to have C-130s, so I decided to draw.
Now, wait a minute. The airline you work for, you got to say that slowly, used to have C-130s.
They had C. It is a airspace line that I work for, the only one that you call it that, so
got
I
it.
Probably
got
know
it
that.
Now. Got it now.
They had C-130s called L-100s, and this was years ago. They used them to haul engines and freight and all that. So I decided to draw one up, and I put it on our pilot's Facebook page, and I've got a really interesting reaction from several people that wanted to know if I could create a sticker. And one of the individuals, because the unit he was in, he was surrounded by what he quotes, obnoxious Southwest and American guys, and he wanted to put them all over the hangar and irritate them as much as possible.
All right, I see where this is going.
That was the birth of really what has turned into a fun little adventure that I never thought I would ever be involved with. So I started drawing aircraft in just fun ways. I call them chubby little airplanes, but I flew.
Well, they are kind of chubby little.
Well, they're
airplanes.
Chubby. They're cute. That's what I always get. They're cute.
I don't want to say they're caricatures.
I'm not the guy that Six Flags that can draw a picture of your ex-wife and make you laugh unless she's old and fat. I'm really good at drawing like old and fat flight attendants, but that's still another thing. So it kind of took on a life of its own. I started doing things for squadrons and. It's just been a fun adventure. What started off with cartoons about airline world led me into the world of spirits. I had an individual.
Not like seances and tables raising.
There's times where I feel like I may be haunted by some people that seem to make things go bump in the night. But otherwise, no. It's been what started off as a company called Aviation Heritage Spirits. It was a one-man show. Individual over there named Johan Braun reached out to me. Quite a few years ago, he liked my artwork and said, hey, is there maybe something we can do together? And he did not have a U.S. representative. And at the time, I was like, sure, why not? Let me take a look at these. So I started, we made them as decanters. We started off with some interesting designs like Memphis Belle, and there's a C-47 called Night Fright that's over in the U.K.
I'm looking at the bottles right over here behind you there.
Yeah, they're absolutely, you almost have to. I tell guys you have to hold one because you don't really appreciate the artwork that goes into this. I wish I could say that was actually my handiwork that created that. But I do the artwork. I work together with individuals to make it what the people want. So we started off going in the U.S. One of our individuals involved is a guy named Rick Van Dam. who is the guru of the L29, L39 world as far as Reno Air races and such. And I got invited to go out there to make cartoon versions of all the jet aircraft that were racing at the Reno Air races several years ago. And I had some of these decanters with me, and Rick and I were able to put our minds together and figure out a way that we could actually progress from having empty bottles to actually putting things that people like inside of them, which led us to bourbon. That was our initial offering. The first design that we did at that point in time, we were very fortunate to get together with Harry Stewart Jr., Lieutenant Colonel Harry Stewart Jr., who unfortunately just passed away. Harry was one of the last surviving original Tuskegee Airmen. He flew P-51s in World War II and had an aircraft called Little Coquette. So the original design, the first one we did at that point in time, was based on his aircraft. It was really, really neat. I have been very blessed and honored to have met some individuals like that in this environment, like today, as we were able to experience Lucky's his stories and such from World War II. And these individuals that we run across are just like finding a diamond in the rough. But anyway, Harry was very gracious. He was a gentleman. He allowed us to utilize his name. He gave us his signatures, of which we took and put on a data plate that went with the air, with the bottles themselves. Just really made them a true. These are, I call them for their I love me items. There's something that if you really want right. something that, you know, we all as pilots, once again, the word ego comes up, but you know, we all aspire to have an I love me room. Some of us are allowed a box in the closet that their wives let us have, or some of us actually are lucky enough to have a room in the basement.
Who, by the way, is not sitting beside you,
Jim. No, not this time. As we have established. She's giving me daggers from across the room, but that's okay, because I get that all the time. So anyway, so Special Tribute Spirits is kind of progressed into that world. We have been very fortunate to kind of a long story. There's a gentleman named Huey Lamb, Lieutenant Colonel Huey Lamb, who lives in Austin. I was able to, about 6 years ago, I stumbled across some P-47 gun bay door panels that were in a basement in Germany. And I was able to acquire four of them, and I got them imported to the U.S. And I started looking around to try to find out if there were any P-47 pilots that are still alive in my area. I was able to meet Huey. Huey is just an amazing individual. He just turned 100. He flew P-47s and P-51s in World War II. He has there's a P-51 Etagene II, which is named after his sister, that is hanging over in the American Air Museum over in the UK. So after getting Huey to sign these panels, I had a connection with him, so we decided how neat it would be to make a bottle design based on Etagene II. So we recently created those, went down, got Huey to sign them, which is now what I consider our premier product, is if we can get these individuals and capture their stories and get their signatures on these items, they become just absolutely priceless in my mind. The company itself is all about telling the story of either the pilot, the event, or the aircraft. So there's so much to be commemorated in aviation, obviously, in the warbird world that we're here. These guys can tell you hours and hours worth of adventures that are associated with these. And we're just trying to make a physical product that can commemorate these events. And Janice, that's please feel free. I will jabber.
Here, the manager of Minutia.
Right.
Yeah. How did you get involved in this, Janice?
So one of the other individuals that Dan ran into and met at the Reno Air Race was my boss, Pete Zaccanino. And I'm in Park City, Utah, and I was hired on into his, he has a private jet management company as well, and he brought me in. And once I came in, interviewed, he's like, you know what? I think you're a better fit for, like, organizing these guys.
for managing Dan, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that's a tall order,
actually. That's where I got the title Mom. My first conversation with Dan was, hey, I love aviation, but I am a puppy in the dog park. I'm not even a dog at the dog park. I'm a puppy. And I just like to run around, meet people, and have lots of fun. And so I came in more from a logistics and an operations and that kind of thing. I'm not supposed to admit in public that my best friends are pilots because apparently that's...
She doesn't choose wisely.
It's a psychological analysis all in itself.
Making bad decisions, but that's all right.
Exactly.
And she is our radar O'Reilly. How about that?
There
does that
you
make
go,
more sense?
I got
you.
Yeah.
I got you.
And so, but what I love about what we're doing is things like, so the Huey Lamb and the Colonel Stewart turned into our line called the Pilot Signature Series. And we are really trying to scramble and find as many World War II pilots, get their stories, get their signature, and present them with their own legacy bottle.
So if you're listening and you know somebody that would have,
please reach out.
Have a bottle,
absolutely.
That would be the way
and,
to go.
Yeah, you know, we're not limited to World War II. My dad flew in Vietnam. He did two tours on Yankee Station, and I still think of those guys that are 50 years old. They're not.
They're not.
It's one of my buddies is a guy named Keith Jones, Casey Jones. He used to be in charge of the Blue Angels. He was number one in the 70s, and I just had lunch with him 2 months ago, and my gosh, Casey's in his 80s now. And these guys aren't going to be around forever. And, you know, we're losing them left and right. And if I can capture some A4 scooter guys or Sky Raider guys and tell the stories or the F8 guys and then, you know, progress from there.
And so that's what we're trying to capture with the pilot series. Yeah. We also, though, we do capture the aircraft. So we have what we call the iconic series. We're looking to redo our own releases of iconic aircraft that people can purchase on our website just because they love aviation and they want the Memphis Belle or our shark mouth design sitting on their bar because it's really cool. And it gets them talking on their favorite topic, which is aviation.
You know? Right. And that's no shortage of stuff to talk about.
Exactly. Absolutely. So you can get that. And then we also, like Dan mentioned, coming across rare metal, we have our limited edition releases that we'll do. If we come across rare metal, we'll design something. So like we have the Berlin Express over there with the B-25 metal. We were commissioned by the EAA for their anniversary to do an auction bottle with Tom Pomerezny's bottle with the Red Devil. And what was interesting about that experience, Dan could talk firsthand, but he's going to start crying.
It was pretty interesting. So for those who aren't familiar, Tom had there was a group, Charlie Hillard was one of them, called the Red Devils. And they
and
were
Gene Susie. Yeah.
And Gene Susie, exactly. And so when Oshkosh came to us.
Pre-Christian Eagles.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And if you ever go to the EAA Museum, the aircraft are actually hanging in the atrium when you walk in. So Oshkosh came to us, EA said, hey, look, you know, we've got our 75th anniversary coming up. Would you guys be willing to do something that we could have donated for Young Eagles? Absolutely. So they gave us metal from Berlin Express, the B-25, and they gave us material from Red Devil 3. So the artisan that is an absolute guru of creation, Johan, he was able to create these two that we were able to donate to the program. And I attended the event, and I did not realize at the time that Tom's wife was sitting across the table from me. And I had that bottle there, and when she saw it, she started tearing up. And I didn't realize he had just passed away the year before. So I was able to, you know, talk to her about it, but it really stuck with me how much it meant to her. So last year, without her knowing about it, we were able to create another one, and with Oshkosh's help, we had her there and surprised her with it. And we've got a video. It's just, man, I still kind of tear up about it.
But it's actually on our Instagram, Dan, if anybody wants to go.
Okay.
And she is such a sweet lady. And the thing, it was actually kind of funny because it was full of bourbon. And she goes, it's coming up on the second anniversary in 2 days of my husband's dying. I think I'm going to go home and empty this bottle. And she was into herself. So
yeah.
She was great. She sent us pictures of his bar. And she goes, look, I've got stuff on here. He has that, you know, commemorates Lindbergh, et cetera. I see, as I pushed him all out of the way, put that bottle right in the center. That's how much it means to me. So that's why we do what we do, is to try to provide that sort of interaction maybe with the individuals. It's we all love aviation, and it's just anyhow, I'm sorry.
No, it's Cockpit Creations on Instagram.
Cockpit Creations
for
his cartoons
artwork.
And artwork.
And then Special Tribute Spirits USA on Instagram. Special Tribute Spirits USA on Instagram, but our website is specialtributespirits.com.
Right.
And that's where you'll find what we offer to the general public for sale, like the iconics we talked about. Or, you know, we also do custom creations. So if you have a piece of aviation heritage of your own,
that you want to turn into something.
And absolutely, you want to commemorate it. So we have a lot, especially with the Warbird crew here at the conference, we have a lot that are coming up and they're commemorating their individual aircraft and they're part of it and everything like that. So you can actually custom create with Dan's help. You'll sit with him, come up with the label that you really think is cool.
And this is big for museums and
outfits. We do it for museums.
Want to get in on this for their own charity auctions.
And we can set it up also for any museum. If they showcase it in their gift shop, then a percentage of proceeds will go back to the museum too. That's so we've set that up.
It's a neat thing. We've been able to collect some unique metal that we associate with the bottles. We have a line in for Hap Arnold's personal B-25. We have metal from one of the last Thuds that was in Southeast Asia. We actually were approached by Beale for the U-2 squadron to do a commemorative design. Last year was the 75th anniversary of the U-2. So we have that for those guys, but we actually may have metal possibly from the U-2, maybe.
There you go.
And we do modern aircraft too. I just want to throw that out there. I know we're at the Warbird.
You'll do anything, right?
We got them all covered on our website and all eras. So.
Well, Dan and Janice, who are not married, but she is his mom, the manager of Minutia. Thanks for stopping in to Warbird Radio, and I hope we'll hear back from you.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're very welcome. We'll be back with more from the National Warbird Operators Conference right after this.
This is Warbird Radio.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Welcome back to Warbird Radio. We're hanging out at the National Warbird Operators Conference in Dallas, Texas. And I'm joined by Mr. Congeniality. He was just nominated for the new award here at NWOC. The most personable, one of the friendliest. He's like a cute little golden doodle puppy when he comes around. Yes, you guessed it right. John Skipper Heil joins me now. Give him 5 seconds and he'll offend someone, maybe even you. But, John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man.
You're my neighbor. I think I apologize to your boys every time I see him. I say, I'm so sorry. I'm just so sorry. What was it like being raised by Skipper? That had to be grueling because you don't tolerate stupidity very well. And, anybody that knows you knows that. But, no. We beat you up, but I'm glad you're here. You got a new Stearman Act, by the way.
Yes.
Tell me about this airplane and about the Museum of the Forgotten Warrior, because this is a cool thing that you're doing down there in Luthersville, Georgia, which is 45 minutes from our farm.
Well, the two boys you're talking about both wanted AMPs, so I convinced Mom that we needed a project in order to get them their AMPs. So we bought a Stearman pieces.
Yeah,
we had
not even really a project at that point. I mean,
no,
it was,
not really. Yeah. We had the three pieces of wood that we had for the wings were actually built by Boeing, and except for the historic value, they were useful for kenneling, and that's about it. We had a frame. We had some other big pieces. It was on landing gear, but there was a lot of shopping on eBay. A lot of conversations with Dusters and Sprayers, and a lot of conversations with Mike Porter, who was a big help for us putting the airplane. So I supervised them in all of the construction of putting it all back together, and of course the AMP logs, and they worked with some other guys on other airplanes to do some stuff that we just didn't have need.
But you got it flying now.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it took about 4 years to rebuild it. We got it flying. We had a few bugs to work out once the flying was worked. Last year I put almost 35-40 hours on it. I was gone almost the entire month of July. Flew it to Geneseo, did their air show in it, and took it over to Oshkosh, did their air show in it. I took it down to Tennessee and left it there with a friend for a while, and took it back up to the Stearman Restorers Association fly-in in Galesburg, and then finally brought it home. And we are right now she's in maintenance. We're also hanging an engine on the Harvard right now, so it's kind of busy in the hangar. And then Matthew just got his tail wheel sign off a week or two ago with Job, Savage. And now, in fact, I was just talking to Eric when you walked by that, yes, I can start checking him out in Stearman finally.
Isn't that great? I mean, the insurance is a huge part of it. Eric Van Hoff and Brad Gardner Aviation Insurance, just great people here. I want to get into the Museum of the Forgotten Warrior a little bit because we've had John before, but if you've missed that episode with Skipper, you got to go back and look for it. But he'll tell you all about it right now, which is a cool idea. The people who didn't go to war but still served.
Well, there are lots of folks that I have run into in my career that wanted, you know, kind of defeat the Axis or Germans and Japanese, whatever. You know, of course, everybody, Pearl Harbor, everybody's seen those old historic pictures of people lined up four times around the post office to go enlist on December 8th. And that's just the way the military works. You know, you don't all get to be on the front line. You don't all get to be heroes. And I, years ago, when I was 17, I started working at an air show, and one of our guys had joined the Navy, gonna fly Hellcats off the Essex and shoot down Japanese. And he got his wings, and we need Stearman instructors, so you're staying here.
And became an instructor stateside.
For 3 years. I ran into a guy at an air show, and I speak a little Navy, one of the reasons I have the call sign Skipper. And a guy told me, that yeah, I was in World War II. Well, what'd you do? I was an aviation carpenter's mate. The hell is that? I built Stearman wings for 3 years. So the guy joined the Navy, never got a campaign ribbon, never had CDD. 3 years in Pensacola, building wooden wings. And on a more personal note, my wife is the dedicated war hero of the family. I watched Desert Storm protecting Northern Honshu from killer whales and polar bears, saving after training an entire, time in the Air Force to go fly fighter planes. And, nope, we don't need you. You can stay here.
You still flew fighter planes. You flew F-16s.
Yeah.
Your wife was a flight surgeon.
And an F-16 squadron.
Yeah.
And
may or may not have been how you meant.
Long story. We're not going to tie up the radio with that. But her squadron, she was in Moody at Valdosta. They deployed, and I was in Misawa, Japan, and we didn't.
So, right.
Yeah.
But it worked out pretty well for the two of you.
Yeah.
And you've went on to have an airline pilot's career, and now you've got the museum. She went on to have a great career in the Air Force, as you said, and retired and is still doing great things. But the museum is the future focus, and it's in Luthersville, Georgia. You're displaying at air shows across the country in the Harvard and in the Stearman.
And we do that with air shows. I am, once I finally finish turning wrenches, I would like to reach out to a couple of local places and start telling them more about the buildup, and this, there's a lot of little pieces that suddenly fell into place. And if you listen to the narration of the Harvard Act, it really, in fact, you and Hugh told me this at ICAST 1 year, that, they don't know what a loop and a roll is. Tell them a story. So I turned it into a history lesson. And it talks about how, summer of 1941, we had 175,000 people in the Air Corps. By the summer of 1944, we had 2.3 million. And they all had to be trained. They all had to be clothed. They ought to be fed. They ought to be paid. They all had to be taught. And the Harvard is kind of what I can basically do in the airplane because the FAA has put some more restrictions on it. But it simulates the last phase check. In pilot training, and once you pass that, you would get your fighter, and as Matthew says in the narration, if you don't, here's your rifle, or you're painted gray and underway. And the Stearman Act, we did the same sort of thing, but mostly making her the gateway, that everybody, no matter what she flew, C-47s, B-29s, B-51s, Hellcats, everybody started in this airplane. They all had to come through that. And do the maneuvers that I'm doing in front of you.
And you do very well. It was fun. It's fun to watch you. I've seen the routine. It's tightening up. I mean, you're feeling the airplane out, but it's already out there and on display. If folks want to find you for a show, how's the best way they can get a hold of you, Skipper?
You can look on. The museum has a Facebook page, and it is the Museum of the Forgotten Warrior, because if you leave the off, you go to some other place. And I'm not. I think it's more about an infantry unit that was like former National Guard in out west somewhere.
Yeah.
So you have to put the in there to find the right page. And from there, you can go to our website. The website has emails and phone numbers and that sort of thing. to get in touch with me, and then we go from there with available dates. And we have lots of available dates open right now. Always can do more. My other son, Jay, the oldest, just got his commercial, so he can start moving the airplane and actually doing some stuff in shows with me. I actually have one show this year that has both airplanes in it, so I got to get them both.
Yeah, you got to get them both there. And that's great.
Stearman goes nowhere fast. So
yeah. Well, I had no idea. I got to say, I had no idea until the singing portion started and you got up and delivered a performance that I'll never forget of I Will Survive. And that is what that's what secured you in the in as now the Mr. Congeniality spot of NWOC. The competition was last night. It was tough. I'm not kidding. I mean, I knew Doug Rosendahl could sing, but I'll tell you, when you hit that high note, Skipper, the competition there was none. There was no competition at that point. It was incredible.
Wish I was there.
Yeah. It was great. All right, we're at NWOC. We'll continue on, but John Skipper Heil from the Museum of the Forgotten Warrior, thanks for hanging out.
No problem.
Great fun. Look, if you have not already subscribed to the newsletter at warbirdradio.com, please do so, and you'll never miss an episode. We'll be back for more here at NWOC, the National Warbird Operators Conference, in our next episode. Thanks for being here.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.